Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 8, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Developing the Mindset for Business Success, with my guest, Evelyn Bourne, writer, entrepreneur, and marketing consultant. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us today because I know you have other things you could be doing. Now, if you're listening live, I encourage you to participate, and you can do that by asking questions or adding comments. There are two ways you can do that. One is if you're on the phone lines, press #1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment, and I'll see that. And I can bring you online where you can ask your question live. But if you're over in the web chat on the internet, you just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Now, some of you are listening to the recorded version of this show, and I want to welcome and thank you as well. Now, regardless of how you access the show, if you enjoy it, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. And better yet, on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, go over there and add yourself as a friend of my show. Now, you can let other people know about the show through Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. And I have links on the show page for those as well. Now, I know that many of you have your own businesses, so before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool that I've used to help me discover my ideal client. The Ideal Client Action Guide, it's called, and it's helped me to realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to try to hit a bullseye. By working through the activities with the guidance of the audio recording, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing, and so can you at www.idealclientactionguide.com. If you're ready to grow your business, add more clients, and enjoy the increased profits you deserve, then tailoring your marketing to your ideal client is the key to your success. So do what I did. Get your copy of the guide today at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Now, again, I'm Flora Brown, author, coach, inspirational speaker, and I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can sign up for life coaching if you're ready to make that U turn in your life, Y-O-U. But I'm also available to do personal appearances, and I'm booking now for 2011. So if you want me to appear in person to motivate, train, or inspire your group, your staff, your event, just submit a request on my website at the Book Flora tab that's at the top of my home page, or you can email me directly at flora@florabrown.com. And I do travel, so wherever you're located, I can come to you. If you book me there, I'll be there. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. And in order to get at that goal, each week I interview guests from different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Now, today's episode is Developing the Mindset for Business Success, with my guest, Evelyn Bourne. Now, Evelyn is originally from Cambridge, Massachusetts, but she grew up and was homeschooled in Southern Oregon. She has a bachelor's degree in English literature from Southern Oregon University, and now she lives and works in Washington, D.C., along with her three daughters. Ms. Bourne is the owner of A Productive Pen Writing Services, where she is a freelance writer, blogger, and content marketing consultant. she is in the process of finishing her first book, and I know I'm looking forward to that. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Evelyn Bourne. Hi, Evelyn.
Hello, Flora.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I am so excited for you to talk about business mindset, because it's true with anything, whether it's business or life, of course, we have to develop a mindset. So why don't we start off with your own story? What inspired you to start your own business?
Well, what inspired me was necessity. I was working at a job, regular 9-to-5, little cubicle job that was not making me happy at all. Mm-hmm. I was really actually quite miserable there. My boss was not happy with me, and I really did not want to be there. Mm. I had it in my heart that I wanted to have my own business, but I was a single mom, and I felt like I needed the, I'm doing finger quotes in the air, the security of a full-time job. So
sure.
I was sort of doing what I felt I should do by mm-hmm. working this job, and it was making me miserable. I was developing a nervous stomach, and I worked for a person who it seemed that it was her desire to catch me doing something wrong at any opportunity. So it was very, very challenging work environment where, you know, going in, you never knew, is today the day I'm going to be fired?
Oh, my
well,
goodness.
So, you know, that day finally came. And
wow.
And so I lost my job in September of 2008, which mm-hmm. is a time when the economy was absolutely in free fall. So I quickly tried to find another job to replace that,
mm-hmm.
and it became clear that that was not going to be the case. I looked and looked mm-hmm. for about 3 months while my savings steadily dwindled, and I didn't find anything. And so I thought, you know, I've always had it in my mind that I want to start a business. This is the opportune time. It's not, you know, it's not like I have the choice to do anything else, because no one,
mm-hmm.
I did not get an interview for the first 3 months. My first interview
wow.
from when I left my job was 3 months later.
Wow.
So I said, this is the perfect time to start my business. And so I did. I already had the blog because, this was sort of my side burner wish
yes,
to have
yes.
a business. And so mm-hmm. I just kicked it into high gear, and I just, you know, I started my business then.
Wow. And, you know, when you said September, boy, as a mom, that brought to mind that was the start of school for your
yep.
kids.
Yep.
So that was a terrible time to get fired.
Yep. Very challenging. I had a daughter
my
who was
goodness.
Just starting college and,
ooh.
You know, two younger ones. And it was very challenging, very challenging.
Yeah, yeah. And fortunately, you already had the mindset of starting a business at some point, so it wasn't a far stretch for you to go in and do it now that you were in that position. Some people may not even have had the idea before
exactly.
until, you know, they're presented. So that puts you a step or two ahead of the average, I would think.
Yes. Well, because I come from an entrepreneurial family. My
mm-hmm.
dad, I never saw my dad work for anyone else. He always had his own
mm-hmm.
company.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom
okay.
is what my mom did have. My mom always had a side business. She
mm-hmm.
often
mm-hmm.
also worked other places. But
mm-hmm.
both my parents always had businesses going all the time. My parents were involved in network marketing, so we would go with them to deliver products. I mean, you know, my dad had his own company, so it was just,
wow.
it was something that was very, very natural to me. And I sort of
yeah,
grew up around that.
Yeah, that's a good role model. Yeah.
Exactly.
That makes you know that it's doable. I think some people,
yeah.
even when they have the potential, if they haven't had a model, they haven't seen it in action, you know, may sabotage themselves. But you had a good model and a good history of that. Now, how did you develop this business mindset? Because wanting to go into business is one thing, and then actually doing it and making it work is another. So how did you get to that?
Well, that was through a little bit of trial and error, because in the beginning I sort of thought, you know, I'm a good writer. I have a kind of a cool website here, and, gee, people are going to hire me. And so, yeah, that doesn't happen.
Nope.
You know, so in the beginning I was kind of like, okay, this is going to be a little harder than I thought. So I really, the development of the mindset really came with reading a lot of, I realized that I needed to study, I really needed to learn about marketing. And I needed to learn about, especially online marketing. And so the success mindset came from, I kept seeing this recurring theme throughout a lot of the, I also have an interest in personal development. So between the reading that I was doing about personal development and online marketing, a lot of it was dovetailing. And a lot of a lot of the message, sort of the recurring theme that I was getting was that your mindset is the most important thing. It's like the inner game of business is more really, it's more important than the actual nuts and bolts of how to build a website, you know, how to set up an email form. All these, those are practical skills, but if you are not coming into it with that mindset that no matter what, I'm going to stick with this, I'm going to persevere, and also if you don't understand that you really have to grow yourself before you can grow your business, because what you bring to the table, your unique sparkle, one of my clients calls it, you know, marketing is sharing your sparkle, you know, so whatever your unique sparkle is, you're the only one who has that. But, you know, if you don't share that, you know, with the world, if you figure, oh, well, you know, I have a cool website, they'll find me, you know, and you sort of sit there waiting for people to roll in. So
not
going to
happen.
Not going to happen. So that mindset really was something that I was, I kept hearing that message over and over, is that you sort of have to be what you want to attract. And to develop that mindset is very crucial to the success of your business, because it sort of, it is, everything is energy, right? So whatever your mindset is, you're sort of telegraphing that to your clients, to prospective people who come in contact with your website and your marketing materials. So if you don't have a success mindset, if you have a mindset of hiding under a bushel, which I see a lot of women do, and just sort of, again, maybe because of lack of knowledge, just popping that website out there and just waiting, going, okay, they're going to come, you know. If you're not out there sort of, you know, sharing your energy and your ideas and your energy, your enthusiasm with the world, putting it out there in the universe, then, you know, it's not going to attract what you want.
Yeah, I keep hearing that throughout what you're saying is the belief system that you have to have. And I think this, of course, this is important to men and women, but I think women in particular have a challenge with it, because I can remember growing up that modesty was stressed a lot. You know, even when we were achieving very well in school, or, you know, making great strides. I know with my situation, my mother, you know, made an effort to, you know, have us not be what she thought was boastful, or they used to call it get the big head, or, you know, you didn't promote yourself. And this, of course, is completely the opposite of what you need to do to have a successful business. You've got to believe and have that energy attracting, as you said. So, so can you talk more about what business people can do to believe in themselves? You already said that you have to be what you want to attract. You've said everything is about energy. So what are some ways we can build this attraction we want to create, or build up our energy to telegraph that to others? Because others will pick up on it and be drawn to it or repelled by it.
Right. Some important things to do are surround yourself with positive people. You know, Flora, as you were mentioning, I sort of had the same kind of upbringing, is that whole girls, especially, I mean, children in general, but girls especially need to be quiet, sit over there, keep your skirt straight and be quiet. And, you know, and so, you know, I sort of felt, my sisters and I laughed that our parents' goals when we were growing up for us, just don't do anything to embarrass your parents. That was sort of, you know, like, go to school, get a job, just don't embarrass your parents. Well, you know what, sometimes if you want to do something of import in the world, sometimes it might not work out the way you want, and you sort of have an initial failure and stuff. But if you don't have sort of the support to go forward and go and try that thing, you don't have the opportunity. If foremost in your mind you say, well, gee, if that doesn't work out, that'll really embarrass my parents. I can't really ever say they said it out loud, but that was sort of the message that we got.
It was the message, right. It was the message.
If your nose clean, you know, stay on the middle of the straight and narrow and don't embarrass your parents.
Yep.
So people who are successful, people who do big things in this world, will often embarrass their parents. So
of course.
You just have to
and I'm glad you said that. And not only that, the thing you're saying about staying inside the lines, the companies that succeed, the business people who succeed, are the ones who have stepped outside of the line.
Exactly.
And have done something that is not the norm because, you know, everybody and his brother could open a coffee shop or a store or a coaching business. It's the people who create something unique and different about theirs that makes them successful, and that's exactly what I think you're talking about.
Yeah. And
stepping
I think
outside
all,
the line.
Exactly. It's also very important to surround yourself with positive people.
Okay.
I am a member of a mastermind group.
Okay,
however,
yes.
This is the fourth mastermind group. I'm counting in my head. I believe this is the fourth mastermind group that I've been involved in because
mm-hmm.
it's very challenging to get people to commit, but these are all positive people. We all sort of share a similar mindset of, you know, how we have a similar spiritual approach to life. We're not all of the same religion, but we all sort of believe in, I want to put it basically under the law of attraction umbrella, but it's just
mm-hmm.
in, just like the, everything is energy and that, you know, what you are is what you will attract, things like this.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a similar belief, so we all support each other and encourage each other within the mastermind group. So I think that being a part, and not everyone has the luxury, because, again, it took me four different tries over the course of the last 2 years to really find a group that I click with.
Right, right.
So
okay.
Not everyone has the luxury of, oh, you know, here's a great group. But find people. You know, there's websites called, like, there's a website called meetup.com where you can
right,
find
yeah,
groups
yeah.
in your area. And you can sort of look through and just handpick. We're self-selecting. So you can look at
yes.
at the websites and see there are tons of business groups. And if you don't see one that you like in your area, start one yourself. You know,
that's right.
And put
that
a description
was,
on there of
the
kind of members
yeah.
you want to attract. And you'll draw to yourself people who have similar ideas and beliefs. And just encouragement is so important.
That's
what I sort of, to build your mindset, you have to be encouraged because you're going to have, there will be pitfalls that you will find. Not every day is going to be wonderful. And so if you don't have anyone encouraging you, it's so easy to just give up.
Right, it is.
So,
it is.
Yeah.
What are some of the other challenges that you've faced? You've mentioned finding the right set of positive people through your mastermind. That was a
mm-hmm.
challenge because you had to go through several before you hit the
yeah.
right group.
Right.
What are some of the other challenges you faced?
Well, some of the challenges that I faced was basically believing that I could do it.
Hmm.
As a single parent, you know, the other thing is that I lost my job just about a year after I got divorced.
Hmm.
So dealing with divorce, dealing with raising children and trying to, you know, we were all trying to adjust after that.
Sure.
Was challenging because even, you know, I don't know if I'm, gonna, I'm sort of getting timid about sharing this, but as a woman and as a single mom, I was a single mom before I married my husband that I just divorced.
Mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just got divorced, you know, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, I wanted to be this fiercely independent woman who could take care of herself. But on the other hand, when I had children, mm-hmm. I said, you know, if I could just find a husband who would take care of me, then, mm-hmm. you know, I can take care of my children.
Right,
and so
right.
when I was married, I sort of fell into that place of, oh, okay, you know, so now everything's taken care of, and so we're moving it. So after the divorce, there I was again having to...
Mm-hmm.
provide. So the challenge was to sort of pick myself up and say, you know, shake myself and say, listen, you're
mm-hmm.
responsible for yourself and three other human beings. They did not ask to be here. You're responsible
right,
for
right.
them. And so, You can't wallow in the woulda, shoulda, couldas. You have to take responsibility and take care of these children. And so in the beginning, it was sort of hesitant to go full out because, you know, there was fear of failure wrapped up in fear of success. Because I thought, well, you know, well, what if this does work? I mean, am I going to be able to handle it? Things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So those yeah. are some of the challenges that I really had, was to really get serious about the fact that there was no alternative. Because clearly
yeah.
I was not going to find a traditional job that had security, because I just had one that I thought had security and I lost it. So it's like that thing where you burn all your bridges. My bridges were
yeah.
burned for me, so I had no other alternative. I mean, I was, you know, I had to take care of my children and take care of myself. So
yeah,
I had
yeah,
to tell
you know what
to
the
suck
thing
it up
is?
And do it.
The good thing about burning your bridges is you have to go forward.
Exactly.
Once you burn those bridges, then the way forward, I mean, the way out is just forward.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, you know, some people don't, you know, they don't go forward till they get to that point. Some people like you, you already had an idea of what you could do. So that was the final push that got you into doing what you were headed toward anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think one of the challenges that you alluded to that people don't always realize is a special challenge when you are a parent, especially a single parent, is that all of the stuff that the rest of us have to do, you still have to do that. I mean, you still have to get kids fed and dressed and chauffeur to lessons and help with homework, all that stuff. You're juggling all of that, and in addition, you have to believe in yourself as a business person. You have to keep your spirits up. You have to associate with positive people. It's a huge, huge thing that
yeah.
you have over and above the normal things that we all have to do. So it's a special challenge, and I commend you on launching
you.
Into it and persevering through to see it to its fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of the tips that can help the listeners develop a mindset for business? You mentioned be what you want to attract.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that everything is energy, so we have to work on raising our own energy and get rid of this whole modesty thing and sparkle,
exactly.
find your sparkle. What
exactly.
are some other tips you can give the listeners?
Well, I mean, I think that it's important that people get the idea into their head that, yes, you can get paid for what you love to do.
Okay.
I think a lot of people think, because for me that was my side burner business, because I sort of said, well, who's going to pay me to be a writer? Like, you know what I mean? I guess I never really realized that I just totally had the mindset of, well, that's not something I can really get paid for. I mean, it's something that I love. You know, so, yeah, right now I'm getting paid to do what I love.
That's cool.
Because I persevered, as you said. I mean, when you were just describing that, I thought, wow, gosh, I guess I hadn't thought about it that way.
You hadn't thought about all you were doing,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. But what I would say, some tips for the audience, is I would say, write down your perfect day. What is it that you want? What is that thing that you sort of have, your secret side thing, that if you could do that full time, that would just bring you all kinds of joy. So get it into your head that it's okay to try to pursue getting paid and paid well for what you love. Because once you sort of realize that it's possible, then all kinds of doors start to open up. In the beginning, I was, you know, because I had the website over a year before I actually went in full on with my business, because I had that sort of weird limiting thought that it's not really something that I could ever make a living at. So that's what I would say. So, you know, realize that, yes, you can. You got to, you know, it might take some creative thinking. You can make a living doing something that you're passionate about, because that's really the best way, because you're going to bring all of that energy and enthusiasm and love for what you're doing to the work, and that will attract people to you. So I would also say, learn all you can. read books, take classes, and, work with people. I mean, even if you're, a full-grown adult who has a job, and you can mm-hmm. still, come up with, an internship. If you see someone
yes.
who is doing something, if you know someone who's doing something that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
you could create an internship. Talk to them. Say, I want to learn how to do, this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that many people are happy to let you sort of shadow them and find out the ins and outs of that profession.
Right. That's true.
Things like that.
That's cool. Now, while you were speaking, I was thinking about the fact that as a marketing consultant, you probably can offer your services to people who are on this search to develop this business mindset, correct?
Yes.
So how can listeners reach you if they want to find out more about your service and perhaps get you to help them?
Mm-hmm. Well, my website is productivepen.com.
Okay.
And my email address is EBB, that's EB as in boy, B as in boy,
mm-hmm.
567
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com.
Okay. ProductivePen.com is your website, and your email is EBB, like Ebb,
yep.
567 mm-hmm. at gmail.com.
Right.
So people are interested in developing a mindset. Those of you who are ready to go into business, you're not sure how to proceed. Maybe you spotted some of your problems when we were talking, like low self-esteem about your abilities or your you don't understand about how to go about attracting the right people to you or surrounding yourself with positive people, then definitely this is something Evelyn can help you with. So be
mm-hmm.
sure to go over and take a look at her website. And this is how I met you. I was roaming around on the Internet, as I often do, to
mm-hmm.
find wonderful, positive people. And that's how I found out about you. So I encourage people to do that who want to get that help. Now, you mentioned limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you did to eliminate those limiting beliefs, those beliefs that hold us back and keep us from pushing forward with the skills and the talent we already have?
Right, right. Well, I find that limiting beliefs can be quite a challenge, because sometimes if you aren't even aware that you have them, then how do you uproot them?
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of, it's helpful to listen to the stories that you tell yourself about why you can't do XYZ, whatever the thing is. If you feel like there's something that you want to do in life,
mm-hmm.
yet you sort of feel like there's something holding me back, the only thing that ever stands between you and what you want is you.
Mm.
Because, I don't want to get religious, but I mean, as sort of spiritual beings, we
yes.
are sparks, of the divine.
Yes.
Everything is available to us. We are always in the abundant flow of everything
mm-hmm.
that is good in the universe. So we are the only thing that blocks the flow. So we take our energy and we create a dam. So our good flows around us and it flows to other people, because we have our fingers in our ears and we're saying, no, 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 I don't want it, because we're believing something else. So if you sort of look at those things, and it doesn't take a lot of digging, because I'm sure as I'm saying this, it's popping up in people's minds. What
yes,
is that thing
yes.
that you feel blocked from? And
right.
once, because a lot of people don't want to take ownership of that fact. In the beginning, I didn't either. And I
yeah.
was like, oh, well, I'm a single parent, and still, those are all circumstances. And what's in your circumstance is a reflection of who you are.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
even though that can sting a little, it can be a little, hard to take, it's the absolute truth. So facing the truth, instead of realizing that I am the only thing, what is in my mind, what I'm thinking, the stories that I'm telling myself is the only thing that's keeping me from where I want to be, then things that I do, it's really very simple. I do affirmations. I was listening to Esther and Jerry Hicks from the Abraham. Esther has a lovely little thing that she says, a belief is a thought that you think a lot. That's it, right? How do you, if you sort of look at your beliefs right now, where do they come from? They don't float down from heaven. You know, if you were raised in a church, then your beliefs were ingrained. Every Sunday you went to church and you said the same prayers and the pastor gave pretty much the same message. Those are ingrained in your consciousness because you thought them a lot. You thought them every Sunday. You thought them every Wednesday at Bible study. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is uproot the beliefs that are limiting you and implant new ones. So if a belief is a thought you think a lot, think about what you want. So I just use affirmations. I write, okay, well, what is it that I want? Create an affirmation, and you have to say them out loud because you have to hear your voice is power. Your voice is powerful. You're moving sound and you're creating vibration when you speak. If you say, I'd like to earn $100, you know, then the universe is really not taking you very seriously. You know, you have to really put passion in it, and you have to speak your affirmations out loud.
Wow. I like what you said about the that we act as a dam to our good, and so the good flows around us and goes to other people.
Well, because it's flowing. You can't stop it from flowing.
Right,
but you can stop it from flowing into your experience. But it's always flowing, right? So if someone is offering you a gift and they're handing you a gift and you turn your head and you're not paying attention, then, you know, the gift might be given to the person next to you whose arms are open.
Right.
I'll take it. Here, I'll take it. Oh, here. Well, there you go. You know,
right.
So that's how I believe it is, you know.
So if the good we want is not flowing to us, then we really have to look at the limiting beliefs that obviously have built up this dam, as you said, that's keeping us from receiving what's flowing, because it's still flowing regardless of what we're doing.
Exactly.
It's what I hear you saying.
We don't start it. We don't stop it. I mean, well, we do stop it, but I mean, we don't start it.
For ourselves.
We stop it for ourselves. Exactly.
But
the universe is always abundant. It's always abundant. And you can choose to receive, or you can choose to, you know, to not receive. And when you're not focusing on sort of, you know, the default setting, like people say, well, I'm not focusing on being poor. I'm not focusing on being broke. But the default setting, right, is lack. If you're not focusing on thoughts of abundance, if you're not focusing on plenty, on increase, then you're sort of going through your day on autopilot, looking ahead, but what's in front of you is what's in your life. And so what you focus on expands. And so what are you going to keep getting? What you got. So if you focus on what you got, you're going to keep getting more of what you got. So it takes work, it takes effort, but you have to focus on what you want.
That default setting reminds me of the fact that so many of us allow what's going on in the world, the news, the economy, you know, we allow that negative stuff, not just the economy, but murder and horrible things that are happening. We let that fill our minds. Now, granted, those things are happening out there, but we don't have to fill our minds with them because they have a way of deterring us from our goals.
Exactly.
And keeping us away from the affirmations that we have to affirm. So one of the things that I know some people online are doing is what they call mind cleansing, where they are taking a vow to, you know, outlaw no television for 30 days, or, you know, they're just outlawing certain things from entering into their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And as a way to begin to set our intention on purpose and not just have this default thing happen to us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I stopped watching television. I turned the television off in my house July of 2009, whatever the month of Michael Jackson's death was.
Right, right.
Because I remember the day after the funeral, we sat and my girls and I, because I was a huge Michael Jackson fan when I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And so we watched the whole funeral. Like, it was on for like 4 hours.
Forever.
We sat in
all day.
The television, and I was like crying in front of the TV. But, and so the rest of the day I felt sad, and I was like down. And I thought, this is absolute insanity. It's absolute insanity. So I unplugged the television, turned it off, and my girls were aghast. They're like, never again? And so we have not had the television on since June of, I guess, 2009.
Right, right.
Because it occurred to me that, you know, my stomach was always in a knot. We'd have the news on in the morning while I'm getting the girls ready to go to school, just running sort of in the background all the time.
That's right.
Get home, news is on while I'm cooking dinner, then we watch the evening news, then they watch their programs. My stomach was always in a knot because, you know, if you hear one more thing about the job numbers, you know, and like you said, the violence and the murder and everything, there was nothing redeeming.
Nothing, that's right.
Yeah, so, no, we have not watched television. The only thing we use our television for is for the girls to watch DVDs. So we have we have a Netflix subscription, and I censor the movies that they watch, and we pop them in the DVD player, they watch them, then we turn it off. So no, there's been no television in this house for over a year.
Yeah. This is a new concept for some people, but I can remember I've met parents who told me, this was a long time ago, even before all the internet and so much other stuff, I've met parents in the past who didn't even own a television, who made the decision to not have television in their homes. Now, I don't know what they did in the days, you know, since we've had internet and computers, but even long before that, they made that decision because they didn't want their children or themselves exposed to this nonstop programming that other people decide to put in your head. These aren't things you chose. So these are important things we could do to eliminate our beliefs. And you mentioned affirmations. I know that some people believe a lot in meditation and prayer or just getting quiet. I don't think we realize the value of getting quiet, getting still, and allowing our minds to rest from the nonstop chatter.
Exactly.
I want to ask you about something that is kind of a new term to me, but maybe it's something that I know about. I didn't know it by this term. What is marketing phobia? I've heard marketing phobia. What is that exactly?
Yeah. Well, we touched on it a little bit earlier. It's sort of that thing where I don't want to generalize, but I mean, because a lot of the business people that I interact with are women. I've seen it a lot in women, where they're afraid to put themselves out there, put their business out there, and to really self-promote their business. So it's sort of a phobia in that they're just like, oh, well, I don't know. It's a little obnoxious. And, you know, so, but the thing is that if you don't market your business, then it's kind of obvious your business is not going to grow.
Right,
and
right.
It's sort of your obligation to share, you know, the reason you have a business is to provide a product or a service to your customers. So if you sort of feel like whatever you have to offer is valid enough that people are going to pay you for it, then you have to share it with the world and tell them that you're here. You can't, as I said earlier, build your website and then fold your hands and go, okay, I'm going to wait and watch your email and see what pops in. It's not going to magically happen.
Nope.
There's no that I really don't know where the build it and they will come thing came from. I mean, the only place that was true was in a movie. Okay.
The only place that was true was in the movie.
And even that wasn't true because it was a movie.
Well, I think build it and they will come leaves out. I mean, people leave out. And I don't know that the movie intended for this to happen, leave out the marketing and promoting part. Obviously, people came because they heard about it.
Yeah.
And so marketing is an important component. What are some things solo entrepreneurs can do to let go of this marketing phobia? Because obviously they have to let people know, they have to promote, they have to market. What are some things we can do?
Exactly. Well, I think that once people realize that it's okay, in fact, it's necessary to market their business, mm-hmm. then I mean, just making that shift in your mind, it's letting that go, that idea, because it sort of goes back to training as young women, you know, be quiet, behave yourself, don't ruffle feathers, you know. That's counterintuitive to being a successful business person. That is a limiting belief. If you believe that you can build a website or open up a store and just expect people to walk through the door or expect customers to just find you, then, you know, your business is not going to go anywhere. So to let go of marketing phobia, you first have to take that step of saying, you know what, I'm going to step out there. I'm going to offer my services because what I have is valuable. There are people who are searching for what I have. So when I share, you know, my services with the world, you know, when they are looking, it's sort of, it's going to make a connection. If I don't put my messages, my marketing messages out there, those connections don't get made.
Okay. Are there some specific things that people can do to take action to market? And I'm sure you cover this in your consulting practice. Mm-hmm. What are specific actions that the solo entrepreneur should be doing these days to promote themselves?
Well, one thing that I recommend is getting involved with other business people.
Okay.
Because, you know, I have been involved in, I was in a group coaching program. LaShonda Henry from the Black Business Women Online is a fabulous teacher, and I was in a group coaching program that she had for business women.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10 of us. And so I mentioned to her one of the things that I was struggling with, you know, a while back, was the fact that as a marketing consultant, I can come up with a whole list of ideas for someone who comes to me and says, I need, you know, this for my business or whatever. But when it came to my business, gee, all of a sudden, you know, but everyone else was sort of raising their hand and saying, oh, I'm so glad you said that because I have the same thing. And so to a person, all of these women were saying, you know, I can, you know, my sister wants to start a whatever company. And so I gave her all these ideas, boom, boom, boom. And then I thought, well, God, I could do that for my business too. You know, so it's like when we're helping others, because as women, that's sort of what we're trained to be, caretakers.
That's what we're good
at. Helpers.
That's right. That's
right. So, yeah, we'll get out there and we'll make flyers for our sister's hair salon, you know, and we'll help, you know, our uncle who's a plumber, you know, get some leads. But when it comes to our own company, our own business, all of a sudden, the story's a little different. So
yes.
I think that if you get in a group of other business women, not just women, other business people, it's helpful because then you can share each other's content. And you can share your own as well. But helping sort of being in a cooperative environment and a supportive environment of other business people who have the same challenges that you have, it's sort of helpful. It makes it sort of a safe environment where you can get out there and sort of tentatively try it. Because I am not saying that if someone has been dealing with a little bit of marketing phobia, snap out of it. Just you know, it's not quite that simple. You know, so you might try, working with other business people who have similar challenges and helping each other out. And then you can sort of you're testing the waters. You can see, well, I placed an ad, and I got leads, and gee, nobody flamed me, and nothing caught on fire, and nothing exploded. You know, it's like you sort of test it, and you see the result was good, and so it's just like getting in the cold water when you're at the beach the first day.
That's right. It'll warm up eventually.
It'll
That's
warm
right.
up, and you'll and once you're in there, waist deep, you're thinking, why did it take me so long to get in here? So, you know, incrementally.
That start.
Yeah. But you have to start, though.
Yes,
otherwise,
you do.
You know, there are people waiting. There are people that are waiting for what you have to offer. If you keep
That's
that
right.
in mind, it's like it is your duty you know, what you are is that you are a unique individual, and what you have, no one else has. I mean, even
right.
if you're in a multi-level marketing company, right, where all of your colleagues are all selling the same product, but
mm-hmm.
people don't join those opportunities for the products.
No, no,
no. They join because they're attracted to the person. But if
That's
you're
right.
not marketing yourself, and if you're not putting
you're
yourself out there, no one's going to find you. And so
That's
you're
right.
actually depriving because, we, like I said earlier, we're self-selecting. And so
right.
there might be people who have videos on YouTube or articles and article directories and all that, but someone is still waiting for your message because they're going to respond to you in a way they
mm-hmm.
wouldn't have responded to those people that are out there now.
And you know what? That was the greatest mind shift for me, has been the concept that whatever you have to offer, that somebody is waiting for it. That's a big mind shift. It
yep.
takes the focus off yourself. Forget about yourself.
Yeah.
Think about the gift you have to share, and someone in the world is waiting for it. And even if there are 2 zillion other people who sell the same product or have the same kind of business, there's someone who needs to hear it or receive it the way you deliver it.
Exactly.
And you're depriving, as you just said, you're depriving that person of that gift that you have for them. And this is something, I think, if we can make that shift in our heads,
mm-hmm.
it helps a lot to get past the whole marketing phobia, the nervousness, because then we're on another kind of mission that
okay.
puts ourselves and our self-consciousness or whatever is blocking us, puts it on the back burner and pushes forward the thing that we're bringing to the world, as you,
mm-hmm.
as you just said.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of today's show,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to have to say goodbye to the listeners, and thank you so much, Evelyn, for coming on and sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
These
it was beautiful.
Ideas. Thank you. I want to remind the listeners that they can get more help from you, more specific, personalized help, by going to www.productivepen.com or emailing you at ebb567@gmail.com. Thank all of you for tuning in today, whether you're listening live or listening later. And I want to invite you to come back again next Monday, November 15th at 11 a.m. again, Pacific Standard Time, for another inspiring and exciting show. In the meantime, be sure to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my book, my speaking, coaching, and other activities I have available for you. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy. I want to tell you this show was designed especially for you, to help you uncover the joy you deserve in your life. Thank you for tuning in, and please join us again next week.
Color your life happy. Color your life happy.